Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
Today we have an interesting topic. Yes, yes, very interesting.
Pay me what you owe me. Hallelujah. Pay me what you owe me. This is a topic that is very interesting today. I really believe that this one is going to open up our eyes to a lot of things. A lot of times, you know, we feel like someone owes us something, and we'll just show you how when you feel a certain type of way about what someone owes you, we'll show you what the Word of God says about it. Amen.
Amen. Today we're talking about hearing the preaching of the pastor. So pay me what you owe me. Very interesting topic. We just thank God for the opportunity to bring this show to you today. This show is to help us identify the enemy and to retrieve back all that the enemy has stolen from us. And sometimes it's not the enemy, it's someone that we trusted to pay back what we gave to them. So operating with an understanding of God's promises, it is now time to make the enemy pay back all that is due to you with no more delays. Standing on God's promises that reconciled us back with God through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, we can now retrieve back all that is owed to us, our peace, joy, our life, our happiness, our wholeness, our healing, newness, just to name a few. We're talking about today, pay me what you owe me. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Now, I was thinking today, I was like, this is going to be a great topic. You know, I woke up this morning and me and my wife was having a conversation, just a casual conversation. And it just seems like when you're at peace, when you're at perfect peace, it's like thoughts and feelings and things that try to come up from your past to try to bring you back to that place to where you used to be.
And that is a place to where you never even asked to be, but that place, it caused you to feel a certain type of way. So I would sit down and I was just writing a few things about how either someone told me this or either I experienced this myself. So I'll just let y'all share a little bit with you. This is a question here. How dare you think that you can steal from me or that you can take something from me and I won't get it back? This is a question that I have, and this is a question that most people that live in this world have had to experience. Now I know that once I had this courage to be able to say that to a person, like, how can you think you can take something from me as if, you know, I wasn't going to come give it back? And because I have that courage and the wisdom to know what to say and when to say, you know, I received it back. Most of us have been in that place as well. Now, it's one thing that I have learned growing up, and one thing that I had learned was you never give someone something that you expect for them to give it back to you. Now, when you give someone something, that's a gift. That's what it is. It's a gift, and gifts are free. But now when you lend someone something or you loan, see, this is a different situation. Now, for me, first, you have to convince me the reason why you need this from me. You need to convince me the reason why you need this. And not only that, you need to show me the amount of time that you plan on having it. But now if you steal something, now this is how I feel. I feel like if you steal something from me, see, now this is a whole different situation. See, now you have created yourself to be an enemy to me because now I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable, and you have shown me that you are not to be trusted. I had no reason to accuse you of anything, but I was at perfect peace. But now my eyes have been opened to the darkness, and now you bad watches. So it's time for you to pay me back what you owe me. So since I was saying this right here, since I was thinking about this, you know, this is one of the schemes of Satan. This is a scheme of Satan. You know, he uses things, and he uses people, and he uses certain situations. Now, you might know me or whatever, or you might not even really know me that well, but it's just sometimes, you know, when people, when they don't trust into what they have, into their ability, or they don't trust, you know, that God provides all that that they source, they seek out to find someone that they feel like, oh, I know someone I can go money from, or I can go borrow this car or these clothes or things like that. And they have no intention on treating it right, have no intention on paying it, have no intention. They just knew that, you know what, I don't trust, you know, that I have the ability to be able to do what I need. So I'm going to go over here and get it from Darcy. I'm going to go get it from Tawanico. I'm going to go over here and get it from Joe and John because I know they got it. And right now when they made that decision, they will come to you and they always use emotions. They use emotions to be able to get you to feel a certain type of way, to get you to feel like they feel. So now they're playing on your emotions so you can make a decision on things to get whatever it is that they want. And they use all different type of stories and things like this. So I'm just saying all this, you know, suggest to say that, you know, this is a plan of Satan. Satan uses whoever he can to be able to influence you. First, he influences that person. Then he want to influence you to come over to darkness. Because when someone takes something from you or someone owes you something, they don't pay it back, it brings on all different type of feelings. And that's what Satan wants to use. Satan wants to use your emotions. He wants you to be in a place where you're making decisions based off how you feel, making decisions off of emotions. And most of the time, the emotions that you have are emotions like you don't trust. Now I can't trust you. I feel like, you know, that you have stolen something from me. So now I'm angry. You know, I have all different type of resentment. I feel uncomfortable. I feel like you have always been looking at, you know, the little things that I have, and you just want to try to take them from me, you know, to rob me. I feel like you would do anything to me when you're in that place. And when you start making decisions off of emotion, when you become angry, so now you have given Satan, you know, a legal access to be able to use you. He uses your mind, he uses your body, he uses whatever it is he can use. And it's like a recruitment. It's like a recruitment. So now you'd have been recruited over to darkness. You're doing evil for evil. But the Bible warns us about that, of doing evil for evil. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is over in, let me find, I just had it. I'm doing evil for evil. Doing evil for evil. It's over here in Thessalonians, over in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15 says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeking to do good to one another and to everyone." Now, what the Bible is saying is right here is that, you know, you don't do evil for evil, because when you do evil for evil, you have been recruited up. See, you are out of grace. And that is a trick of Satan to get you in that place where you're not trusting God. Now, you might have been trusting God, but you allowed someone to bring you out of that place where you're trusting God, to bring you out of that place where you're in peace, to bring you out of that place where, you know, you were just fine, which is a wise scheme of Satan. Amen.
Amen. If you're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about payment with you owe me. And I like to go to scripture when we talk about payment and debt, you know, because when we talk about payment with you owe me, that means there's a debt that you have inquired. A lot of times it's not, you know, your enemy that owes you. A lot of times it may be a so-called friend or family member that may owe you, whatever it may be, whether somebody has robbed you of your time, robbed you of your possessions, robbed you of your peace, whatever that may be. We talk about Jesus came. He came and he paid the ultimate price. He paid our debt. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, and it says here, and Paul is speaking, he says, "I am a debtor both to Greeks and the barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise." So what is the Bible saying? So by to Greek and to barbarians, Paul was referring to those of the Greek culture and those out of the Greek culture. So to wise and to unwise refers to educated, uneducated people. So why was Paul a debtor? After his experience with Christ on the road to Damascus, his whole life was consumed with spreading the good news of salvation. His debt was to Christ for being his Savior, and he was a debtor to the entire world. He met his obligation by proclaiming Christ's salvation to all people, both Jews and Gentiles, across all cultures, social and racial and economic lines. So we are also in debt to Christ because he took on the punishment we deserve for our sin. So although we cannot repay Christ for all he has done, we can demonstrate our gratitude by showing his love to others. We're talking about pay what you owe. We owe Christ to give our life to him, to help the poor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To pray, to go to the prison. We owe it to Christ.
Yes.
Pay what you owe.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about today here on the show. Pay what you owe. And if you all go with me right now over to Romans, we're going to go over to Romans 6, and that's going to be verse 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we are free to choose between two masters, but we are not free to manipulate the consequences of our choices. So each of the two masters pays with his own kind of currency. So the currency of sin is debt. That is all you can expect or hope for in life without God. Christ's currency is eternal life, new life with God, that begins on earth and continues forever with God. What choice have you made? Pay with you what you owe me. This is the name of the show today. Are you in debt? Pay what you owe me. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there before to where you just felt like I wasn't feeling like this at first? I knew I should have never, ever, ever trusted you. I knew I should have never trusted you. And because, you know, you have convinced me to trust you, now you have caused all this torment. You have caused all this bad thoughts and bad feelings, and now I got to deal with it. You ever been there before?
You know, I've maybe it's when I was younger, when I was not a believer, was not in Christ. Because what I came to realize is that don't let anyone borrow something that you can't afford to give away, because there's always a chance that you may not get it back. So if I can't afford to give you what you're asking to borrow, then I'm not going to let you borrow, because I need that. So you never give, you never let somebody borrow something that you need.
Yeah.
So you never give somebody your rent money knowing that's all you have and expecting them to have it back. Because, you know, I've done that before with someone. I said, hey, when I was younger, I'm going to give you this, but I am going to need this back on this date. I have to pay this bill. This is my rent money. Don't take it. Like,
right.
I would never take something from someone knowing I couldn't give it back to them by the time. If I ask you, let me borrow $200, and you tell me by the third you're going to need it back, and I know I'm not going to have it on the third, I'm not going to take that money from you, because I know I'm not going to be able to give that back to you. And I'm going to let you know, hey, I need it, but I know I'm not going to be able to have it back to you by the third. Now, by the 14th, I can guarantee you I'll give it back to you by then. But I won't make no guarantees that I know I can't fulfill. So we have to be very, very careful. And that brings it to a scripture in mind. When Jesus came, it wasn't borrowed. You know what I'm saying? He knew that he was given, that he was never going to ask for that back. So he didn't let you borrow it. He gave it to you knowing, you know, that's not something I want back. I'm not expecting back. I'm giving it to you because of love. God sent Jesus for us because he loved us so much. So the Bible says here in Romans 13:8, if I may, Pastor, it says that owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Why is love for others considered something we owe? So we are permanently in debt to Christ for the lavish love he has poured out on us. So the only way we can even begin to repay this debt is by loving others in return, because Jesus Christ's love will always be infinitely greater than ours. So we will always have the obligation to love our neighbors. That's it. Pay me what you owe me. And with Jesus Christ, pay me with love. Love one another. Love one another.
Yeah.
I died. I came because of love. Pay me with love. Love one another. And that's one of the commandments he made to us. Away, love. He said, love you one another. Love your neighbor. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Well, that's one of the things. That's one of the things that most of the time, in my experience, most of the time when people borrow something from you, is always a money. And I believe right there, that place right there, I believe that's the place where it comes, where it allows a person to come out of character.
Yes.
You know, it's money. You just said, when you said something about $200 when you was younger, I'm quite sure that you probably never even got that $200 back. I'm quite sure. You know, it never. I'm quite sure it did, because it was money. And most of the time when people get money, oh, my goodness, they get it, you know, in all intentions of, I need this to take care of what I need. Whatever it is that you have that you need, oh, you got it. Oh, no, you got it. You can find another way. You can find another way. So, yeah, you probably didn't get that back. But I'm just curious about, you know, that relationship that you have with that person. You know, when someone don't pay you back money, that tends to cause you to be in that place where now you don't trust them. Anything that they say, you feel like, you know, that that they're lying, that they're untruthful about it. And back when we were growing up, oh, don't let them go have a $200 pair of shoes on like Michael Jordan's. Oh, man, you see they got a brand new pair of shoes and they owe you $200. Boy, it just makes you feel, it's like it just does something to your heart. Like, wait a minute, no way you can go over there to this store and go buy these expensive pair of shoes when you know you owe me $200. You know you owe that to me. And that's why I say that's that recruitment. That's that place to where, of course, you know, they're not trusting. They're not trusting to be able to have that God is their source and they have all that they need. They want to see what it is that I can get you to do. Let me see if I can get, I know I can get this from, let me get that from you. And now they're in a place where they're just enjoying life, and you over here just looking at them with all type of resentment, all type of resentment. Then here comes anger, and then you're all frustrated, and or you just be saying things and doing things that you normally would not have done. You normally would have not have done. And you start calling them all different types of names. Oh, you start calling them all different types of names. But one name that is mentioned in the Bible, and you just came from Romans, it's also over here in John, John 10 and 10. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And this was Jesus. He was speaking, and he was saying that, you know, the thief comes not to do anything but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he said that, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So what this is saying to you right now, that people that are being used by Satan, you know, Satan and his agents, that's what the whole job is for them to do. The whole job and the whole assignment for their own assignment. The assignment is to get you out of that place to where you're in peace. To get you out of that place where you're in peace. It's not really about the money. It's not so much about the money. It's that place that now you have lost your peace of mind. Now you are saying things and you are doing manner of things. And this is a scheme. This is a scheme that Satan have planned. Not only he have infected the person that he is using, but he's also using that person, which can make you feel emotionally about something, and then he recruited you over too. Now both of you are out of grace. Both of you are doing matter of things of evil. You thinking evil things, and you're saying evil things. They're thinking evil things and saying evil things, and both of you are just living in darkness. You're living in darkness. But we thank God. We thank God. We thank God, you know, that we have the perfect wisdom and knowledge of all things to be able to identify what it is that Satan is trying to do, to be able to identify what it is that person that you love that are being used and what it is that they are trying to do. But the Bible says if you can identify the thief, that you can make the thief repay you back seven times fold. Now, that's a promise. That's a promise when you identify the thief. That means that, hey, that $200, you might not get it. You might not get it back from that person, but you would definitely get it back. You would definitely get it back because God will give it back to you because he says, don't do evil for evil. Do evil for evil. So that don't mean that I would. That don't mean that I would trust that person, you know, with my finances are concerned. But that don't mean that I don't have to, you know, actually deal with that person anymore. I just won't deal with them in that aspect. And I have to find a way. And everyone, you have to find a way to be back in that place where you're in peace. If it costs you your peace, then that costs too much. It ain't worth it. That costs too much. It costs too much. And I don't believe that there is a certain dollar amount, regardless of whatever it is. I don't believe there is a dollar amount that should be able to cause you not to love your friends or love your brother or sister and or your neighbor. I do realize that circumstances happen. I do realize that things happen in your life when you feel like that you need it. But you need to know that it is God that supplies all of your needs, all your needs.
Yes.
And the next point that I wanted to make here is that don't give the enemy access to be able to use you. Don't give the enemy access to be able to use you. And don't let somebody recruit you over to acting or saying the things like they say or acting or doing the things that they do. Now, they may have stolen your coat, but that don't mean that you go and steal their shoes. So now you've been recruited. You can't say the reason why I did this because you did this to me. You know, sin is sin. No matter who did it first or who did it last, you still are living in a manner of you living in sin. Because now you're not trusting. You're not trusting that, you know, I don't need, I just did that, you know, just because of you did this. You know, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to do that, you know, infect. One of the most powerful things that a person can do in their life is to think. That's one of the most powerful things you can do is to think, to know when, wait a minute, I see what's going on. You need to be able to look past your situation and be able to see what's going on. you know, pay me what you owe me. Pay me what you owe me. But a lot of times, don't look to your enemy, or don't look to that person that has stolen from to pay you. You know, that's God. God take care of all that. He'll take care of all that. You know, pay me what you owe me. You know, look to God, you know, for that payment. That's that abundance that Jesus was talking about. Amen.
Amen. You just now tuning into the Preacher and the Pastor Show. We were talking about pay me what you owe me. And when you were saying that pay me what you owe me, I was thinking about, you know, people will receive from you one thing but then want to give you back something else. You know, I gave you $40, now you want to give me a shirt. Or can I fix you something to eat? Can I buy you something to eat? No, pay me what you owe me. You know, if I gave you money, I want money back. If I gave you food, I want food back. If I gave you a dress, I want a dress back. Pay me what you owe me. You know, so that made me think about the, you know, if we could, like some people have wasted your time. You know, I gave you my love. I gave you my heart. You broke my heart. Pay me what you owe me. You know, you hurt me. You know what? You know, I feel the need to get back. Let me, you know, sometimes it's that, let me hurt you. You know what? Let me let you feel how I feel. Pay me what you owe me. You know? And so then you're being recruited over. But when we look at the Bible, when I was thinking about that, looking in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, pay me what you owe me. Here the Bible says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Pay me what you owe me. So here, what did Paul mean when he said that our bodies belong to God? Many people say that they have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies. Although we think that this is freedom, we are really enslaved, or they are really enslaved to their own desires. So when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit seals and lives in us. So therefore, we no longer own our bodies. Bought at a price refers to slaves purchased at an auction. So Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligates us to his service. So if you live in a building owned by someone else, you try not to violate the building's rules. Because your body belongs to God, you must not violate his standards for living. Pay what you owe me. And when we're talking about, you know, a lot of times people are wasting your time, and you like, you wasted my time. You owe me. You owe me this. You owe me that, because you wasted all these years of my life. You told me that you love me. You married me. You say we'll be together forever. Now, I'm up in age, and now you want to do what you want to do. You owe me. Pay me what you owe me. And that's, you know, a lot of times even in marriage when there's divorce, you know, you go to court because you got this document that says, basically says, pay me what you owe me for all the time I've been with you. You know, I need to get half. I need you to pay me what's due mine. You know, and a lot of times, you know, and one thing, we can never get back this time. Only God can redeem the time, you know. And that's very important that we understand that the redeeming of the time, God can redeem the time. So that made me, you know, go to scripture as far as redeeming the time, because we have to be, we have to understand, have an understanding what that means, what the meaning is of redeeming the time. And we look into Ephesians 5 and 6. So the answer here is in the King James Version says that, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So the phrase redeeming the time is also found in Colossians 4 and 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without redeeming the time. So walk in wisdom toward them that are without redeeming the time. So in both passages, redeem the time is related to wisdom and how we walk. That is in how we live. So to redeem something means to buy it back, to regain possession of it. So time is a gift from God, and none of us know how much of it we are allotted. So only God knows how much time each of us has on this earth to make decisions that will impact eternity. So we have to be mindful, you know, ask God to help us in all our choices here on earth, because we don't know how much time we have. When we're talking about pay what you owe, and I think about time, and I would tell people all the time, don't waste your time. Even in my production, I would tell people, don't be here, because, you know, I thank people for their time, because time you can never get back. So in Psalms 139:16, so when God says we would be redeeming the time, he wants us to live in a constant awareness of that ticking clock and make the most of the time that we have. In fact, The NIV translation in Ephesians 5 and 6 has used the phrases to make the most of every opportunity instead of redeeming the time rather than waste our days on the foolishness or frivolous pursuits that leave no lasting imprint. Scripture instructs us to be diligent about doing good. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Give me your last, because this sounds like a Bible study that we were having about 3 weeks ago. I think this falls underneath the category of broke people break people. Now, if you owe me some money, I better not be over here sitting over here trying to figure it out, and you over here living good. Now, you were broke, so now I gave you my last. I gave you my last, here now I'm broke. So now you was broke, and now both was broke. Broke people break people.
My Lord.
Golly.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that is broke people break people. I'm looking at you, and I see that you got it going on. In my eyes, I see that you got it going on. But you over here, you're getting up, and you going to work, and you're making it on time. You are making right decisions, the right decisions with what you're doing, with your time. You're making right decisions of what you're doing when it comes down to your finances. Now, if I'm watching you do this, I have that same ability to do the same thing that you are doing, but I see you over here doing it, and you are doing enough for both of us, at least in my mind. Now, that's a thief. That's a thief, and those are thief mentalities. Let me see what I can get from Pastor. You know, Pastor, she has $2 or $3, because I've been watching her go to work. She went to work every single day. At 5 o'clock in the morning, and she got off at 5 o'clock in the evening. If you counted up how much you make, they'll even come ask you. They'll even come ask you, or how much they paying over there. You don't even know the reason why. They act like they were asking for a job opportunity. What they're trying to figure out is that how much money you made. So they can figure out, you know, how much come to you, and see if they can get from you. I've been around that. I've been around that, you know, so many times, in so many situations. When I was younger, I used to hang around a group. Now, I never was doing the same things they were doing, but I was still associated with them. I was hanging around. They called themselves Jack Boys. They called themselves Jack Boys. Now, I had a job. I should have never been hanging around, you know, this group of guys. I had a job, and they didn't have a job. So they would see me go to work, and I would go, and I would make my money honestly. But what they would do is they would wait till it got dark, and then they would come up with a plan to go see who it is that they can rob or they can steal from. And, of course, I didn't go with them. Oh, no, y'all have to go down that road by yourself. You know, I work for everything. You know, but they were jack boys, and what they were doing was they were putting themselves in places in the daytime, trying to befriend people and trying to see what it is that they can steal from them. Then they would come over later in the night, just like the Bible says, like a thief. And they would come in, and they would come in, and either, you know what I'm saying, they would take it where no one knew about it, or sometimes they would take it by force. They would take it by force. They called themselves, they had a little group name, they were called the Jack Boys. That bothered me so much. That bothered me. So, of course, I disassociated myself, you know, with these group of guys. But I'm just saying that when it relates to this subject, pay me what you owe me. And a lot of them got caught. A lot of them got caught, and they had to pay. They didn't pay back with money, but they paid back with time, because they had to do time.
Yes.
Some of them 5 years. Some of them still doing time. Still doing time. So that's one thing about, you know, or doing wrong when you're out here stealing, and you're going to pay. Your day is going to come when you're going to pay.
Yes.
When you're going to pay. And you have to pay back more than what you took. More than what you took.
Yes, it's true.
The Word of God says that when identifying the thief, and you can make them repay you 7 times. Now, that is true. So the amount of time that they did, or all compared to what they stole, it wasn't even worth it in the first place. Should have just got up and went to work and went and earned it. Just saying all this about, just to say, you know, that this is part of the brokenness of this broken world that we live in. Now, a lot of things that we allow ourselves to be a part of, you know, and that's self-inflicted. But
some stuff you just find yourself associated, you just associated with this, you just associated and not even knowing that, you know what, no, I can't, you know what I'm saying, be around this. You know, y'all are broke, so you definitely at some point I'll be broke too. So that's definitely this brokenness over here in Psalms 55, we have a chance to go over here. I just want to read a little bit over here in Psalms, talking about these broken people here, broke people, break people. Over here in Psalms 55. Give me one second. Mm-hmm. You know, just lost my spot on the page. I'm almost there.
My Lord. If you're just going to tune into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about pay me what you owe me. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here right now.
Okay,
Psalms 55 says, Psalms 55 says, give an ear to my prayer, O God, and hide me from, hide thyself from my supplication. It says, and attend to me and hear me. I mourn in the complaints and making a noise because of the voice of thy enemy, because of the oppression of thy wicked, for thy cast iniquity upon me, and the wrath do I hate. This is talking about that brokenness. That brokenness. You know, we are subjecting ourselves, you know, to certain situations, or we are allowing ourselves to be in certain situations, which you definitely would experience this same type of brokenness. You experience the same type of brokenness. And when you experience this type of brokenness, you will be in that place where you do not wish to be, and you will definitely, you know what I'm saying, have to pay, and you have to pay it back. Amen.
Amen. If you just had tuned into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about pay me what you owe me. I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you were the one that owed, that you were the borrower and not the lender.
My.
You know, we always agree and declare that we shall be the lender and not the borrower. Nobody wants to owe anyone anything. For me, that's very stressful to just know, you know, that I owe somebody something. And worse than that, to know I don't have the money to pay up when it's time to pay up, you know. And so even when we have credit, you know, you have credit cards, so you're basically, you're borrowing, you know, you have an open line of credit to borrow from, and then at a time when you must pay what you owe. And then there comes a time, and then even when you borrow from those financial institutions, there's an interest that's added to what you owe. So there comes a time where you have to pay what you owe. But we look at scripture, which takes me to Psalms 37 and 21, the Bible says that the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. So you can tell a lot about a person's character by the way he or she handles money. So the wicked person steals under the guise of borrowing. The righteous person gives generously to the needy. The wicked person, therefore, focuses on himself, while the righteous person looks to the welfare of others. So I don't know about y'all, but I've been in a position where I've had to borrow, you know, and I try to make sure I'm not in that position, but in a position to give and to help, you know, as much as I can in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So it's very, very important, you all. Like I said, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about pay what you owe me. You know, people want to be paid, you know, if you owe, pay. Again, the Bible says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. And if you go over with me here today, we're going to go over to Proverbs 22 and 7, you all. Proverbs 22 and 7. Pastor, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
The line was doing something. I was trying to figure out what that was. In Proverbs 22 and 7, it says that the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So does this mean we should never borrow? No, but it warns us never to take on a loan without carefully examining our ability to repay it. So a loan we can handle is enabling. A loan we can't handle is enslaving. So the borrower must realize that until the loan is repaid, he or she is a servant to the individual or institution that made the loan possible. So, you know, my pay me what you owe me. So if you're in a position that you owe, you need to pay. And if you're in a position where you're waiting to be paid, it's a time to be paid. And then we have to understand sometimes people just can't not, people just aren't in a position. You know, things happen. They genuinely want to pay. They're really sincere about their situation or what they know what they owe. You know, or you want, will you show mercy? You know, will you have mercy on that person? Will you go ahead and clear their debt? You know, what is owed to you? Jesus Christ, he did it for us. He came and he did it all on the cross for us. He paid our debt. But are you willing to have mercy on your fellow brother or sister that is in debt to you, that is owing you? I understand it's frustrating, and you want to be paid. You want to pay them, you know, you want to be paid in full what is due to you. But will you have mercy on the borrower if you was in that position, you know, where you couldn't pay back what you owe? Would you want someone to give you mercy, show you mercy? So we have to ask ourselves, will you have mercy on the one that owe you? Pay what you owe. And sometimes we owe mercy. We owe mercy. But can you do that? Are you willing and able to do that? Have you been delivered, you know, walking in Christ to be able to show mercy, to give mercy? Amen?
Amen. So if we borrow something, I mean, so if we're borrowing money, so that means that we are getting something that we cannot afford to pay cash for it. So, like, I know every one of us, you know, have that dream of having that dream home and dream car. But man, those two things right there, you know, that dream home and that dream car, man, it's like the price tag that's on that is your whole life. You dedicate your whole life trying to get that car that is only going to last about five or six years or so before it begin to break down. You done dedicated your whole life trying to keep up, you know, trying to keep the car and keep that maintenance up. You'll get rid of it anyways after about 5 or 6 years because it's broken down anyhow. Or you'll waste 30 years, 40 years, you know, paying for something, and then, you know, right after you pay for it, then you want to sell it. So I think that falls in line when you talk about debt. Purchasing something about having debt. Oh man, I don't never want to be in that place. I don't never want to be in that place to where I feel like that I can't pay back something under what I have borrowed. And those bill collectors, oh my goodness, don't they just get on your telephone and in your internet and in your email and oh man, they just harass you. Do they ever do that in the past? I might not be talking about you because I don't think you have that problem. But have you ever known anyone that experienced? You ever known anyone that experienced that?
Yes, I have actually experienced all of that. I've been there and done that. Definitely.
Oh, how did it make you feel? You know, when these lenders, they even hire people to help them to harass you, to help them to bring you to that place where
and that's exactly
you just
how
stress
harass
all
to make
the
you
way
pay
out.
Up. Yes, to make you pay up. But, you know, I do want to say this, Preacher, I want to say this because what I was saying earlier was, you know, having mercy on the debtor. You know, when we pray, model prayer, you know, as we forgive our debtors, you know, forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors, so we shall be forgiven as well. And I just want to go to the scripture here. I know we got about 14 minutes left in the show. In 1 Corinthians, as you're talking about, you know, feeling harassed, and are we willing to show mercy to the one that owe us, you know, being in a position where you've had to borrow, where you've owed, you know, and been able to pay back. And but then when it came a time when someone owed you, you know, you harassed them, or, you know, you put yourself in a position, I'm going to get what it was due to me. But I remember when someone showed you mercy and said, hey, don't even worry about what you owe me. It's okay. God bless you. I've been in a position where I've told people they've owed me. Well, in the time where they were owing me, I still blessed them, you know, and they were looking like, wait a minute, I know I owe you money, and then you still going to bless me while I owe you? That's what Jesus did for us. While we was in the midst of our sins, he died for us.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, the same thing. So, in the midst, can you bless somebody that owe you? You know, can you be able to say, I know you owe me $200. I'm going to turn around and bless you with $200 more, knowing you owe me. So, the Bible says in Corinthians First Corinthians 7, it's in verse 20 to 23. It says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedom. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Verse 23, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves to men. So often we are so concerned about what we could be doing for God somewhere else that we miss great opportunities right where we are. And I'm just talking about being in the midst of our sin and going through how Jesus, you know, showed us mercy. He died for us in the midst of our sins, or that we may have salvation, so we may be saved. And so often we are concerned about what we could be doing for God somewhere else that we may miss great opportunities right where we are. So Paul said that when someone becomes a Christian, he or she should usually continue with the work he or she has previously been doing, provide it isn't immoral or unethical. So every job can become Christian work when you realize that the purpose of your life is to honor, serve, and speak out for Christ, because God has placed you where you are. Look carefully for opportunity to serve him there. Pay me what you owe me. It's the name of the show today. So slavery was, if you look at verse 23, and I'll give back over to you, preacher. Slavery was common throughout the Roman Empire. So some Christians in the Corinthian church were undoubtedly slaves. So Paul said that although the Christian slaves were slaves to other human beings, they were free from the power of sin in their lives. People today are slaves to sin until they commit their lives to Christ. So who alone can conquer sin's power? Sin, pride, and fear no longer have any claim over us, just as slave owners no longer has power over the slave he has sold. So the Bible says we become Christ slaves when we become Christ, but this actually means we gain our freedom because sin no longer controls us because it was paid. Jesus Christ paid the price. Pay me what you owe me. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I hope this show definitely, you know, help me out. And if there's someone that's going through some torment or just fear, that feel like, you know what, you know, you owe me, whatever it is, if it's in the form of money or if it's in the form of time, or you have caused me to be in a place to where I don't want to be, or in a state of mind that I don't want to be in, you know, the reason why I'm acting like this is because of you. Well, if it costs you on your peace, then that's too much. That's too much.
Jesus.
Hebrews 4:3 reads,
mm-hmm.
For we that have believed do enter into rest.
Mm-hmm.
As he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath. See, we're supposed to always be in that place. Well, we are just resting and we're just trusting God. We're just resting and we're just trusting God. Now, if somebody owes you something in the form of money,
mm-hmm.
if they haven't paid it back in the amount of time when they say they're going to pay them back, it's probably better, you know, if you would just get your peace back and not even worry about that anymore, because well, you just stressed out, keep you in a place where you're just angry, you're just upset, you're just wishing and hoping that somebody is going to come back and do something they never even have any intent on doing in the first place.
Let me say something right there, Pastor. Let me put a period right there. And that you said that as far as receiving your peace, you know, letting go. Even in the Bible, it says that, which is an interesting item with you know, understanding what the Bible is saying, even about 7-year debt. In the Old Testament, debts were to be forgiven after 7 years. So at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor should release what he has lent to his neighbor, and that's even in the Bible, as it talks about the, you know, the creditors, and after 7 years, and even, you know, when we know anything about credit, after 7 years, it's supposed to fall off your credit. So if you haven't received it back by a certain amount of time, then you should let it go.
Let it go. Let it go and make sure you get your peace of mind back. Make sure you get your peace of mind back, and make sure you know that you're able to rest at night. Now, that don't necessarily mean that you should go back and just keep on allowing somebody to use you. Definitely don't let anybody steal anything away from you. Don't let Satan use you, and don't let anybody use you for anything. Now, if it's something that you need, if you knock on my door and it's something that you need, I would rather give it to you, because if you come back and you give it back, then I wasn't expecting for you to give it back. That keeps me in that place to where I'm not looking for you, I'm not worried about you, and I'm definitely not expecting a repayment. I gave it to you freely. I gave it to you freely. Now, if I don't have it to give, then, you know, I'll just let you know that, you know, I don't have it. Even if I had it in my pocket, you know what? I got it, but I need it. And if I give it to you, I shouldn't expect for you to give it back, because if you were in a position to be able to give it back, then you would never even come knocking that door in the first place. I got to be able to trust that. I got to be able to trust myself, you know, to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. To make the right decision, I have to be accountable to say, okay, well, did I think that you were going to ever pay me back in the first place? Now, I'm knowing your situation, and you told me the best thing is for me to do is maybe I can help you out of that situation. Maybe I can help you out of the situation. Over in the construction world, what they say is that, you know, fix the problem instead of just putting a Band-Aid on it. You know, you just put a Band-Aid on it, you just feeding into the problem. Let me help you, you know what I'm saying, you know, to actually correct the problem or to fix the problem so we don't have to worry about this again. And I'm talking about that, and when it comes down, you know, to the form of money or things, instead of, you know what I'm saying, you know, me giving something for a repayment, I'm going to stay in that place to where I'm at. I'm in perfect peace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. If you just have tuned into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about pay me what you owe me. And I want to go over to this. We're going to pray, and then we'll have food for thought. But before I go into prayer, I want to take you all to Romans 13, verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their due taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, free to whom free, honor to whom honor. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier. Render. The Bible says, render therefore to all their due taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to fear to do, honor to honor to whom honor. We were talking about earlier, someone said, you know, we were talking about if I give you this, I want that back. You know, I want exactly what I gave you. I believe in the Bible that Jesus was talking to, Peter. Correct me if I'm wrong, as far as, you know, the money, who to pay taxes to. Do we pay taxes to Caesar? If it says Caesar, name on, let render Caesar what is due Caesar, and render God what is due God to God. Okay, and so, you know, as we're talking about pay me what you owe me, one of the scriptures I definitely want to go to before we go into prayer here is in Mark, and it's Mark 45, and it reads, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So this verse reveals not only the motive for Jesus' ministry, but also the basis for our salvation. A ransom was the price paid to release a slave. Jesus paid a ransom for us because we could not pay it ourselves. His death released all of us from our slavery to sin. So the disciples thought Jesus' life and power would save them from Rome. So Jesus said his death would save them from sin and even greater slavery than Rome's. So Jesus paid the ransom. If you all want to know more about the ransom that Jesus paid for us, it's also found in 1 Peter 1 and 18 and 19. Let's pray before Pastor go ahead and give us food for thought. Pastor, you can give us food for thought, and I'll pray right after that. Go ahead.
Okay. Food for thought for tonight. Posture yourself to hear and be led by the Holy Spirit. Posture or position yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit, to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you and be led by it. When you hear what God has for you, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. It's a little food for thought for tonight. Amen.
Amen. Definitely good food for the thought. It's always good to, you know, wait and hear, you know, pray and then wait and see what God is saying and being led by the Holy Spirit so that you can receive what God is saying, you know, to be able to hear so you can move and be successful in your movement. So thank you, Pastor, for that. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Father God, to come before your people, Lord God, to come to the throne of grace boldly, asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and provision. We confess and repent our sins right now, known and unknown, in Jesus' name. We decree and declare right now that every word that come out of our mouth as we pray today must be fulfilled in Jesus Christ's holy name. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we bind and rebuke any demon that tries to steal our finances and support that, Lord God, you have given us, and we command you, demons, to let go of our finances right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Release all of them now in Jesus' name. Devil, we command you to let go of our finances and support right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bind and rebuke any demon that would try to come against our support and possessions in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So we now proclaim and declare to you, devil, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yahshua, that you must now restore to us all that you have stolen from us, including our health, our relationships, our finances, our possessions, our property, everything else in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that you are behind this because it is written in John 10:10 that the thief coming not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Living Father God, we're not asking you for any of this because you have already given this to us. We do ask, though, for you to please dispatch your holy angels to go and make sure that the devil return everything that he and his demons have been that have been stolen from us. Please return them back right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we may restore our stewardship to the glory of your son, Jesus Christ. We receive the anointing of restoration right now of all things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command total restoration of all things we have lost in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We retrieve them from the hands of the enemy, any of our possessions that we have unknowingly misplaced in the name of Jesus Christ. We uproot and destroy from our lives every obstacle to our miracle in Jesus' name. We break in pieces every horn, scattering our blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. We destroy every hedge that the enemy has put around our blessings to prevent us from receiving our blessings in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every evil power holding back our prayers or the answers to our prayers, we command you to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Every shadow of darkness that the enemy has cast over us to prevent our prosperity, our job, our business, our contacts, our promotions, or our breakthrough from locating us, we remove it right now by fire and by force in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree total destruction upon every evil that there has been vowed never to release to us anything God has destined for our lives in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We break in pieces every covenant and curse obstructing divine restoration in our life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you.
Yes.
We take back everything that the enemy has stolen from us today. Pay up, give it back to us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. No more we will allow the enemy to take what belongs to us. Today is the time to retrieve all that the enemy has taken, and we take it back in the name of Jesus Christ. And that our peace,
in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Our joy, our happiness, our finance, our support, love, whatever it is, take it back in the name of Jesus Christ, our help.
In
and Lord, we just want to say thank you for total restoration of all things new in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it is Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. And we all say amen.
Amen.
Just thank God for this day. Thank you all for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. to the Preaching the Pastor show. We look forward. God bless you. We love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Take care. I love you, babe.
Hey, I love you as well.
Come on, put your hands together.